Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It's 7:14 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. Glad to be with you this Saturday. Normally on Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m., so please listen into that if you haven't already. A couple of good conversations coming up this morning. We will get an update on the Heart and Soul Community Project, Galesburg on Track, with Debbie Moreno coming up about an hour from now. They've been in the midst of a number of community meetings and things like that, and it's about at the two-year mark that they've been in existence here in town, so we'll get an update on that in a few minutes. But first, a big anniversary for the Knox County Health Department. They're celebrating 25 years, and Michelle Gabriel and Aaron Olson are in studio to talk about that this morning. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Which one of you has been there longer?
I have.
There you go.
By that much.
That much. That's right. Yeah. So we're glad to have you. It's kind of, I was thinking about it this morning, and that the health department's been around for 25 years, but it's one of those things that seems like it's always been there.
Yeah, we like to give that impression. That way it's, you know, always there.
And I actually had this conversation last night. I was with some friends last night, and I told them what I was doing this morning, and they're like, 25 years? They're like, we thought you guys have been around since like the 70s. So I think some people honestly do still feel that it has been around for a long time.
It only feels like you've been there since the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of public health in Illinois has. Knox County adopted a health department fairly late in the game.
What took so long, do you think? I mean, I was thinking about it in terms of, I grew up in Henry County, and it seemed to me like the Henry and Stark County health departments had been there for forever, at least through most of my growing up. But why was Knox County so late in the game, do you think?
Yeah, public health is kind of an abstract concept to understand. Yeah. And I think early on, it seemed more like us interfering rather than being here to help. Like, we consider we're here to help with when we do food permits or septic, you know, to ensure that people don't get sick and everything's going in a good manner. But I think you have to convince people of that and educate them a lot on why you're doing that.
It seems, you know, from that standpoint, it's, you know, a lot of people don't like government kind of, you know, interfering in their lives. And In a lot of ways, you could argue that that's another form of government interfering in your lives, but it's really not that.
Mm-hmm. No, not really. It's us ensuring conditions where people can be healthy. it's never our intent to dictate or lord over businesses. It's more education and ensuring that they're taking the right steps, because there's truly no business in town that would want to make the community sick if it did happen.
Absolutely. Well, excuse me. Let's talk. Let's go back to the beginning then. What kind of led to the formation of the health department? I know there was a referendum that started it, but maybe even before that, what was the impetus behind getting voters to approve a health department?
There was a lot of. It took three times. I guess we'll kind of start there, back to the forefront, like a long time ago. I can't give you the first two exact years of when the health department was tried on a ballot, but the third time, as one of the articles says, from 1992, the third time was a charm. When it went through, and it was a very, very close margin. I want to say it was only 1 or 2 percent, you know, as what it went by. But I think a biggest thing, when you look at a lot of the people, as I've been going through pictures over the last month, well, and 17 years, I look at these pictures all the time. But you look at these pictures and you see who was in them. You know, you have Gail Kaiser to Parsons to so many, I mean, big names throughout the community who were trying to get this voted in. But then we also have in a lot of our archives, not just the pictures of vote for the health department, vote for the health department. A lot of it was don't vote for the health department because this tax is going to go up, or this tax will go up, or your levy. And I think that was a big proponent of as to why not to get it in the very beginning was your taxes and the levy. But I think a lot of it is a misconception also.
Well, I imagine that's probably a difficult thing to balance. I mean, to a point, I mean, taxpayer dollars pay for the health department, but you kind of have to sell it, I would imagine, almost as maybe a necessary evil type of a thing?
It is kind of necessary evil, and we do get tax levy, as I'm sure Michelle was just getting ready to say, but we also have a lot of grant. I mean, the primary funding that we get through our health department right now has been state grants and federal grants.
Which we would also argue is taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is, for sure. It is definitely taxpayer money, but we are a good standing health department who...
Well, and there's a cost to everything. You have to look at the benefit of it. For example, there's, you know, the cost of an outbreak in a community would be much larger than the cost of preventing one. Just like vaccines, the cost of getting a vaccine is much less than, you know, the horrible idea of having to deal with something happening in a community related to a vaccine preventable disease.
Yeah, so, if there wasn't a health department, you wouldn't be able to deal with any of that.
Mm-mm. Right. And I really think the community is becoming aware and becoming educated of that. A good proof of that is the fact that the 708 board passed first time out.
The mental health board.
The mental health board. That's very similar to how the health department is set up. And it passed first time out because I believe the community's becoming aware that these concerns have to be addressed because they affect the community overall anyway.
But there was some criticism there, though, that, you know, there's a tax associated with that, too, and that wasn't always talked about in a public manner leading up to the vote, though, right?
Yeah, well, there is. There's a tax associated with it, but again, there's a cost to everything. There's a cost to doing nothing when it comes to public health. At least that's what I believe. So I think you just have to benefit or kind of weigh your good and your bad and see which way's the better to go.
Let's. We need to take a break here. We'll do that, and then we'll talk more about the history of the formation of the health department and get into what's going on today and things like that over the course of the rest of the hour here. We're talking with Michelle Gabriel and Aaron Olson of the Knox County Health Department.
It's the season opener for the Galesburg High girls basketball team Tuesday night as they take on the East Peoria Raiders in the annual Thanksgiving tournament. I'm Tom Meredith. Join Eric Gibson and me for the pregame at 6:40 on WGIL.
7:23 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson, joined this hour by Michelle Gabriel and Aaron Olson with the Knox County Health Department. This is their 25th anniversary. Exactly when is the date that you can officially say the health department formed, Michelle?
The referendum passed on November 2nd, 1992.
So we're just past the 25-year mark, finally.
Yes. We've completed our 25 years.
You know, I think I was maybe a little, before the break, perhaps slightly contrarian, and that's kind of, maybe kind of what I do. You know, you try to think of what, you know, people are thinking when you talk to people on a daily basis, as I do. But we were just talking off the air about all the education that's maybe been done in that time, and how it's, I would imagine it's kind of changed in that time, right, that you really don't find people that are still, you know, maybe anti-health department as much as maybe you did in the beginning, right?
You don't, not at all. I mean, when we were off the air talking 20 years ago, 18 years ago, there was a lot of people who still were per se anti-health department or just didn't know exactly what we did. And I would say now we see a very positive change over the last 20 years of moving forward and people knowing what we do. And they will come to us for help and for questions and know that we are there to help them and to better. I mean, our goal is to prevent, promote, protect.
Kind of goes back to what we were saying at the very beginning that, you know, it's been 25 years, but it feels like you've been there forever because, you know, now everybody knows you're there and everybody knows your name, for lack of a better term.
Exactly. It is. It's kind of like Cheers, right?
Yeah.
You come in, you go out. But yeah, I think it's a big thing where people know where we're at. They know what we do. And I feel that the staff throughout the health department and the administrators that we've had have built that relationship with the community, and that has helped tremendously build the trust. And I think that's what it took over 25 years is a lot of building trust with people, whether it be in Galesburg, you know, Knoxville, Abingdon, Oneida, Watauga, wherever we're going to, you have to build that trust in order for them to come to you and keep things moving.
Doesn't HIPAA prevent you from knowing everybody's name? Never mind.
Oh, kind of does.
For another day. So when did, from that point where the referendum was approved, when did the health department first get formed and opened and services start being provided? Michelle?
They formed a Board of Health once it was approved, and the Board of Health met and hired our initial administrator, Greg Chance, in 93, I believe.
April of 93.
April of 93. And so the health department officially opened, I believe, once they hired him. And then they started putting together programming. Our core programs, which are food, water, sewage, and communicable disease. Actually, we were doing unofficially, but in Illinois, that's part of being a certified health department. So that's when we have to start doing all our requirements like community health assessments and working with the community. And so that part didn't come about probably until 78.
We did our first I-plan. 97? Yeah, we did our first I-plan that came out. Community health assessment came out in 94.
Yeah, 94.
So it was a couple years after the fact. And it wasn't as large as we look through them, but it was there and moved forward slowly.
Yeah. So for those who don't know what an I-plan is, it's we have three responsibilities as a public health agency, and it's to assess the community, what their health needs are, what needs to be in the community, assure that those needs are met, and then, of course, support policies political-wise or government-wise that support those needs. So what we do with I-plan is basically survey the community and find out what those needs are. And really, they've changed quite a bit over time, too. That's an interesting journey.
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning there. What were they at first, and maybe kind of go into, if there's time, what they've become since then?
Early on, we had some teen pregnancy concerns. We had lung cancer. We had access to care has been around for a good number of years. Dental care, of course, provided the impetus for us to open our dental clinic. We've been providing dental services since 96. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of chronic diseases early on. And really moving into the future, they've remained about the same. They're just a little bit more basic, like obesity is one of our concerns now. So obesity leads to a whole plethora of chronic diseases, so we kind of backed up to that.
Is that similar or different to other parts of the state, other communities and things like that? Are these needs similar or different depending on where you go?
They're identical.
Yeah.
They're absolutely
especially the access to care. Mm-hmm. Like access to care and behavioral health are some of the big things that are in the community health assessments now. And we go to meetings all the time where you hear across the state and even neighboring states. Those are things that are constantly on and that you see.
Do you go into, once you figure out what these needs are, do you try to figure out how to eradicate them or how to mitigate them? Or what do you do from there, I guess?
Combination of all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not necessarily public health place to provide every service that the community needs. It's more our place to assure that they're being done. Good example of that is years ago, we were the only ones who provided flu vaccine.
Right.
Now it's available widely throughout the community, so we don't provide as much flu vaccine. And so that's kind of our role, is to gather partners and make sure that the community knows what the needs of the members are, and then we services are available. So.
Yeah, I remember being a young reporter, spending a lot of time at Board of Health meetings, you know, hearing about, you know, for things like, you know, administering something as simple as flu shots. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting worried the more I started hearing about flu shots being available at the Hy-Vees and the Walgreens of the world. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what's that going to do to the health department? But in reality, that's really just a small piece of what you do.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's very small, and we're happy if services are available throughout the community and easily accessible, then our goal is accomplished. That's truly what we want as a public health department, is for people to have ready, easy access to care.
We have to take another break here. We'll continue this discussion after a check of news with Michelle Gabriel and Aaron Olson of the Knox County Health Department. 25 years of the health department here in Knox County. We'll continue to talk about where they've gone and where they're going coming up. But
welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
.735 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. Another half hour with the Knox County Health Department celebrating their 25th anniversary this month at 8:15. Debbie Moreno from the Heart and Soul Project, Galesburg on Track here in town, will join us, and we'll get an update on things going on there with all that work going on. But Michelle Gabriel and Aaron Olson from the Health Department are here to talk about the 25th anniversary. I guess maybe we can start out this segment by saying you're doing anything special, or is there or maybe just a lot of people bringing back old memories, if you will?
I would say a lot of memories. A lot of people, it's kind of funny, even the staff at the health department, the ones that have been there, where we've got some that have been there 20, 21 years, you know,
going
strong.
You've got some people that have been there close to the beginning, right?
We do. We don't have anybody who's from the initial beginning, but we're only 2-3 years off of all those people. So at the building, we're going to do our look forward coming in February and March. You'll see a very big anniversary / annual report. Report that'll be coming out, which we're pretty excited about. Somebody local will be working on that, making it really, really, it'll be very eye-catching and coming out. We're going to be doing some just inside stuff with the staff, but coming this spring during April, during Public Health Week, is when we're hoping to do a big event to get the community involved and a lot of our partners so we can thank them, because over the last 25 years, we couldn't have done a lot of what we do with out the partners throughout the county to move us forward.
Yeah, I was going to say it takes a lot of people both in and out of the health department to make this happen, right?
It does. It's taken a lot of people from our Board of Health, you know, community members, a lot of doctors, you know, because we have to have doctors, we have to have dentists, we have to have community members on that board, to agencies, you know, from hospitals to human service agencies to the fire department to the police department to anybody that lives in this county has touched what we've done in our building and made us move forward to make the health department move from its little building over by Hawthorne to where they had 4 or 5 staff to McClure Street to building our own building and moving into it in 2000. The people of this community and this county have made it what it is, so we were able to do that.
Galesburg has always been kind of a decent-sized hospital town, if you will, with two hospitals, and I thought of that in terms of the couple of years I spent in Springfield with how important the medical community has been there. You know, I would like to think that the medical community is more important than the fact that state government sits there, but, you know, that's another discussion for another day. But how important is it to continue to have that buy-in from the hospitals and the doctors and the rest of the medical community? I mean, because some of these services you can go and get at the hospital, right?
Yeah, it's important that we remain partners and that we get their buy-in and that they understand what we're doing, which is why we try to maintain a lot of collaborations and a lot of education out there. We do provide some services out at the health department, which we did not initially. But it's all about appropriate services. A lot of people can go to the emergency room and get their tooth looked at or something like that. But it's where it's best, their needs are best served at. So we'd like to think that what we do is try to steer people to the correct form of care.
How have the services that you've provided changed over the years? I know we talked about that a little before the break, but
a lot.
That's how so?
Public health overall has changed. We've seen a couple of large things or reasons for change. You know, sadly, we had 9/11, and then we've seen public health become a lot more structured and involved in the public safety throughout the community. So we're able now to respond if there were an outbreak or if there were, you know, a natural disaster or something of that nature. We've seen H1N1 come through. And the focus just generally shifting to what the community needs as far as a healthy community, you know, sidewalks and food establishments and grocery stores. So
we went from a lot of education, which we still continue to do and will continue to do. Mm-hmm. But as Michelle and I have talked and a lot of people in public health see, we come to a lot more policy too, where we're looking at changing policy, and not in a bad way, but looking at those as we've worked with the city of Galesburg quite a bit over the last 5 years of just working with them, of talking complete streets, you know, as Michelle brought up sidewalks, you know, having sidewalks, working with complete streets through the bike lane that you see on Fremont Street and Seminary Street now, working with them and going into city council meetings with our city officials and talking to them and encouraging them that these bike lanes are good, because then it works back to our community health improvement plan where we're trying to work on access to care and we're trying to work on obesity, where if you have more access for families and people within our community to walk, to bike, to play, you're going to have a healthier community as you move forward towards this stuff.
Are you finding through the years that there are, and I think we may have just talked a little bit about this too, that people that are still resistant to the need of to the needs of public health, or at least from that policy standpoint, or are you finding that most people are understanding these days and know that, for lack of a better term, you're just trying to help?
I think the majority are understanding, but there's still a lot of people who disagree or don't understand the concept of what we do. And that's just America. That's where we live. You still have people who say, well, nobody uses the bike lanes, or what are the bike lanes there for? Or, but you're always going to have that. And that's okay, because that generates communication as well. And it generates an opportunity for us to educate.
I usually ask this question at the very beginning of a conversation or something like it, and I don't know why it slipped my mind this time, but maybe I'll back up. For each of you, Aaron and Michelle, what has kept you going? What has kept you passionate about public health all this time? I mean, both of you have been there for a good number of years now. Why do you keep doing it?
For me, it's about being able to affect people's lives at their very basis. We are community health driven, so we don't necessarily affect an individual's health, more so of the community. And so it keeps me going that we can overall affect the economic health, the physical health, the well-being of a community overall, and to see Galesburg and Knox County change and grow as a community is very rewarding.
Aaron?
I would say that helping people, that's my biggest thing. Coming from a community health education background and starting and doing so much education in the public, I think seeing people and having somebody come up when I'm still sitting at health fairs and I go in and they're like, you helped me do this. Your building helped me get this service and help my family. And I think going in, whether it's a little kid that I see from 17 years ago who I now see out in the public, and they're like, Mrs. Olson, you came in and you taught me this, and they tell me what we've done for them. The day-to-day interaction with the people and knowing that we've helped, as Michelle said, the people in our community move forward is by far the biggest. It's my love. I mean, that's what I love doing.
You know, that means we're getting old.
I know it does mean that I'm getting old, but it's a pretty cool mm-hmm. it's a pretty cool feeling when you know that people walk up to you and they're like, mm-hmm. your agency gave me this service and this is why mm-hmm. I'm now doing this, or I'm mm-hmm. I feel good, or you helped me find this. Our Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program, every year in mm-hmm. October, we will be out at a community event and somebody will come up to me and they will say, your grant saved my life.
Yeah.
And that is why we do what we do every day.
You know, Michelle touched on something that I think maybe most people don't think about, and I certainly didn't until just popped in my head just now, that public health in general, and perhaps public health in specific, really ties into to everything. You know, the economy, mm-hmm. the quality of mm-hmm. life.
It does. You know,
how a city operates, all of that stuff.
It does. We used to say that, you know, even if you've never walked through our doors, we have touched your life. And I honestly believe that. Public health is almost an invisible safety shield. It's, in fact, if we're doing our job, people really don't even, recognize that we're here. Mm-hmm. You know, because if we're doing a good job of preventing everything that we're supposed to prevent, then people just forget about us and that's okay.
Yeah. But I tell people in a daily or in education classes when I have students come in and they're like, well, we don't use the health department. And I look at them, I'm like, do you eat in your school cafeteria? And they'll look at me and they'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, we inspect that school cafeteria. Have you ever walked into, you know, we don't want you to use them because they're bad for your skin. But if you've ever walked in and used a tanning bed, you know, we inspect those, you know, from body art and tattooing, you know, places through the community, we inspect mm-hmm. those. So everywhere you look, public health is there, but it's very silent on a lot of, you know, it's very quiet on a lot of it.
And to that end, I think even though we've talked about it and we've talked about a lot of the services that you all provide, I think that that maybe people don't realize that some of those things go on, like the food inspections, like, you know, like you said, with tanning beds and with
body art and tattooing.
Environmental health and things like that.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And our environmental staff is busy 12 months a year.
I'm sure they
going
are.
Out, you know, from putting in new wells and septics. Because if you are in the city, you don't think about wells and septics because you're on city water, city septic. But in the country, you know, you have old dug wells. You've got new homes being built where they're measuring for your septic and for your well and what you're going to, you know, where you're going to put everything to water testing, you know, going in through all these communities. And that's huge within our department.
I guess it would be easy for me to say, well, don't you think you should promote those things more? But you don't necessarily need to, right?
No.
I mean, how do you kind of balance that? Kind of doing it versus, you know, maybe people either knowing or not knowing that that's what you're doing.
Well, there's so much that we do. It's hard to pick and choose, honestly, what we promote and what's out there. Some of our other programs, we could use more education. I often think we should talk about our food program more and why we're actually there. We're not actually, it's not what people think, you know. It's my husband will always tell everybody, well, you'll be glad she's there when something happens.
And yeah.
So, but you don't really want to come out like that either. So it's, we could do a better job in some ways of educating people, but there's so many pressing issues that we want them to take care of their everyday health that keeps us busy.
We need to take another break, and then we'll, when we come back, maybe we'll talk about things going on here in the future and the road ahead maybe for the next 25 years for the Knox County Health Department with Aaron Olson and Michelle Gabriel. It's 7:47. You're listening to Galesburg Live.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
7:52 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Our first hour of Galesburg Live about to come to a close this morning. We're glad you're with us. I'm Will Stevenson, joined by Aaron Olson and Michelle Gabriel of the Knox County Health Department. 25 years ago this month, voters approved the formation of a health department, which was officially formed not too long after, in the intervening months after voters approved, as we talked earlier, in the third time being the charm for the formation of the health department there. But there's one thing I found over the years, sometimes, at least in this area, sometimes you have to put something on the ballot a couple of times for voters to finally approve it, right?
More education.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So let's kind of talk about the future here for a little bit. Will there always be a need, do you think, for a public health department in the broad sense, Michelle?
Yeah, there will always be something in the background that we're protecting people from. I mean, it started with cholera and pump handles and just basic things going on, basic communicable disease. And
I learned about cholera through a computer game in the 90s, but that's another discussion.
I know. Speaking of future, I think I've been sitting here deciding I want you to say the health department the way they say your name in the intro. I want you to say Knox County Health Department.
Well, I'll put a call
at least
in
for the 25th year.
I'll put a call in and see if we can get somebody to do that. Like we're announcing a basketball lineup or something. But
why not?
Yeah, why not?
It is our 25th anniversary.
There you go. Why not? So do you see kind of the purpose, though, of the health department? I mean, in many ways, the purpose of the health department is the same now as it was 25 years ago, but it has, in as we've talked, evolved in that time. Mm-hmm. Do you see it continuing to evolve in terms of needs and issues and things like that?
I do, and you said it exactly right, and that's how I feel about public health, and maybe one of the reasons why I love it is we stay stable, we stay strong, our purpose remains the same. It's just our focus shifts as things change within the community that we serve. So, you know, we're seeing more of our focus shift towards opioid abuse, mental health, things of that nature we're starting to see come down the pipeline, obesity. It's shifted from, you know, chronic diseases like cardiovascular disease or high blood pressure, and now we're looking more at lifestyle changes to help people address their needs before they get to, you know, a full-blown illness. But for the most part, the underlying need stays the same. It's just what direction we're focused on.
What is kind of coming up here for the health department? Is it more assessments, trying to figure out how best to address those needs here in the coming months, or just kind of keep on keeping on at this point?
We're starting to shift a little bit. We're in the middle of an assessment period, so we're looking at our priority health concerns, which are obesity, mental health, and access to care. We continue to look at our needs that we've been addressing for years, like dental health. There's still much more we could do for dental health. We're still not reaching as much as the community as we'd like to. And then new focuses are coming in, like opioids, getting our community partners together to find out what the best way is for us to address opioid abuse in our community.
Yeah, that's kind of something that's been, now that that's been declared, I guess, a federal sort of a public health type emergency, I guess you kind of have to address that whether you're ready to or not, right?
Yeah. It was public health before he called it that, but then that kind of seals the deal when the president calls it a public health epidemic, yes.
Are there other things from an epidemic type of a standpoint that you're continuing to address, or is that something that that kind of changes?
I would still consider the obesity epidemic relevant. STDs in the community are still very relevant, even though we've addressed a lot of teen pregnancy concerns and dropped the teen pregnancy rates. STDs in this community stay very relevant, and sometimes they're a topic that's a little more difficult to talk about.
Yeah, that was something. And when Aaron and Sam Jarvis were on the other day on Galesburg's Morning News when I was filling in, you know, there were people even here in the building that said, "Oh, did you really want to talk about that?" But you know, we don't want to talk about it, but we mm-hmm. have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been around for so long, and it is a very relevant topic because it is community based. You know, mm-hmm. it's something that happens in our community, and it happens to all ages. So I feel that it's something, and it's not the easiest topic to talk about, but it needs to be brought up. And I think the more we talk about it, the easier it will be to hear about and to talk about.
And I think we try to talk about it too from more the standpoint of consequences and what happens. You know, for example, you have chlamydia, which multiple cases of chlamydia can lead to infertility later in life. So then, you know, are we going to have a large influx of infertile women who can't have children? And that's a concern moving forward, and it could potentially become a public health concern. But until people get used to talking about the cause of that, that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. I have about a minute and a half left, so while we have that time, why don't, if you can, maybe talk about some programs or initiatives you have coming up here in the near term.
Some of the future things that we're going to be working on is, as public health, we're going to be doing, you'll be seeing a lot, hopefully, more lead education. Going out, we're pretty excited. We just received a small grant from the Galesburg Community Foundation to go out into the community and do some lead education. So we're very excited about that because we go out into homes and do a lot of stuff. And we also received a grant from Community Foundation for our health center to move forward on hopefully getting some support groups going for some autism awareness within our community. Also, two big things coming up.
You know, we didn't talk about the health center pretty much, unfortunately, at all in this hour, but that's probably one of the bigger things that's really happened and kind of helped the health department evolve in the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's changed the face of the health department completely, and I think it's helped with our acceptance within the community. But access to care was a big concern, especially dental health. So it's formed who we are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Real quickly, how can folks get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of us by calling us at 344-2224, or they can stop by the building anytime. We're located right next to Galesburg High School.
All right. Aaron Olson and Michelle Gabriel with the Knox County Health Department, thank you so much for coming in. And despite some of my line of questioning, happy 25th.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, as always. When we come back in our 8 o'clock hour, Debbie Moreno from the Heart and Soul Galesburg on Track project here in town, talking about what's going on there. That's coming up next as Galesburg Live continues here on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.